welcome to another episode of Metal Talk TV, and I'm joined today by Ben Savage, the lead guitarist and founding member of Whitechapel, who released their eighth album, Kin, on 29th of October. Hi, Ben. Welcome to Metal Talk.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Keeping the English kind of standards of discussion going. Yeah, it's a bit chilly in England. How's the weather in Tennessee?
It's rainy. Rainy, so we're getting a little taste of, you know, what you guys go through all the time.
Are you welcome?
My roof is getting mossier as I speak.
Cool. So Whitechapel as a band, it's really impressive. Yeah, you've had the same lineup apart from drums since Zach joined in 2007. What's your secret?
I guess we're all fans of each other. We're all friends. Brotherhood, I'm like the youngest in the band, so kind of like I would go see like concerts when I was young. I've seen like Alex and Zach perform, so I was like, and they were in like a very popular local band. So I mean, there's just like deep roots, you know, with us, and we just kind of let us be ourselves, you know.
Nice. And with Alex Wade and Zach, yeah, there's the three of you playing the guitars together. Yeah, that's all pretty cool. How's that relationship? You must have kind of slightly different influences.
Yeah, we all complement each other. Like if it fills in the cracks, you know.
Yeah.
With our songs.
And it must make it extra powerful when you play live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, you know, recordings, it's usually left and right panned. Mm-hmm. And then like they have like center guitar parts, so we could actually pull off recordings live and stuff and keep the power and energy.
Cool. And drummer wise, Alex Rudinger, he's now a permanent member of the band.
Yep.
Cool. Yep. So last album, The Valley, was very well received and showed a great development of your style. Hickory Creek must have been great to play live.
Yeah, that was a big one. I was looking for always look forward to playing that one, and once we did, it was definitely a good vibe. Yeah, like you said.
And then you kind of released an acoustic version earlier in the year with all clean vocals, which is very different from your deathcore background in the early days. Are you happy how that was received?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, our fans, they respect, you know, the stories and the, you know, that, and the, you know, the intent that was set in The Valley. So like having like an acoustic Hickory Creek just felt like another, you know, a nice little Easter egg, or just like a little, you know, just a little cherry on top from The Valley.
Yeah. Easter egg. That's a great way of putting that, actually. And The Valley was obviously a concept around Phil Bozeman's childhood. And with that album, you continue to drive Whitechapel in what some have called an unorthodox direction. But maybe I see it as more of a natural way bands develop as they grow over time. How would you describe the journey through The Valley to the new album, Kin?
Well, we had The Valley was a very important record, you know, for us. I think probably the most important in our career. Because it's kind of like it bears the seed of, you know, what became Kin, because we could kind of go off. We knew we wanted like a part two of The Valley story. So from that perspective, we could kind of make the, you know, structure to the music to fit like sort of that, you know, that heavy, you know, subject matter. So, you know, we could get more dramatic with the songs, like kind of like have a, you know, a very beautiful sounding part, like, you know, kind of build into, you know, this cathartic climax, and, you know, we could kind of explore more, and we wouldn't have been able to do that if we hadn't, you know, released The Valley. And just with the power of, you know, that story and, you know, and everything involved, it really helped.
And on Kin, you're still nicely brutal in places, though. So, I mean, I think of the ones that made us really blast your eardrums beautifully heavy, yeah, but then you slide into History Is Silent, yeah, which with its acoustic mellow build up, and then Phil sings Sad to Say I Crave My Grave, and then bang, you know, it's still wonderfully brutal, yeah, but there's many more layers there now, yeah, it's pretty fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it just makes for a more interesting listen, you know. You know, it's having all those parts in it, you know, it kind of, it reels you in, you know.
Oh, it certainly does that. The first lockdown interview we did at Metal Talk was with Ryan Roxey, yeah, Alice Cooper's guitarist, yeah, who said that lockdown would help to deliver some awesome new music as musicians now have more time, yeah. Was lockdown good or bad for you guys in the writing process? Did you spend more time or?
Yeah, we did. I mean, you know, it's a horrible thing that happened in the world, but you know, it helped out with us. You know, we've been, you know, on this kind of this train, you know, ever since we started. You know, we've released 7 albums, you know, and we toured behind every one of them. So like actually having an album that we could, you know, completely focus on, you know, it helped out a lot, because we just wrote it the same as we write the past 4 records, you know. Been just get in a room and, you know, listen and grind it out. And so we were all, you know, in the same room together, and it didn't hinder us at all, like, because, you know, we all social distance, and, you know, we're kind of in a bubble, so we just kind of, you know, worked in the bubble too.
I guess you all live reasonably locally to each other as well,
yeah,
so that helped. And your wife, Gillian, yeah, speaking of local people, yeah, she did the artwork for the album.
Yeah.
It's got like the Valley Point in there. So when you look at it, it's very much the successor to the Valley. Yeah,
it is. It's like the two, you know, personalities growing, you know, from what was the Valley. Whereas the Valley was like a, you know, true event story, kind of like happening around you. This is happening, you know, inside. So Jillian did the beautiful artwork. Like, she's very scholared, and she knows what she's doing.
It's a very impressive piece, and it's one of those things that you're not going to get the same effect with on the CD as you would with that great big bit of vinyl.
And it's like it was done on 12x12-inch canvas. So if you get the vinyl, it's the same exact size as the actual artwork. Okay. So it's really impressive just looking at it like close up, because each dot was hand poked.
Really?
So you could really see each one has a little, you know, it's different, you know, it's a little personality in it.
Wow. Patience of a saint. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It took her a month for 8 hours a day, you know.
Wow. Wow, impressive. Can we talk about some tracks? I've been lucky enough to hear the album a few times already, cool. And I'll just go through a few of the tracks, yeah, and give you my thoughts, and then you can kind of jump in. Lost Boy. So I love the transition from heavy, yeah, through the clean vocal section to the rip-roaring guitar solo outro, yeah, where Phil's singing, "We're in this together, you're mine forever." That's your outro solo there, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. Solo. Just so like at the beginning, I kind of wanted to kind of imitate the, what Phil's first singing vocals, like "Underneath My Shadow Is a Snake," that melody kind of brought that in as like, just like a starting point for the solo. And then I just kind of went from there. We just kind of like improvised until the end, just kind of seeing what worked, you know, kind of going back, you know, doing that until we were satisfied with it. Something, a solo that feels like it's just like driving you.
Yep.
You know, just driving you forward.
Yeah. Cool. Anti-Cure. Yeah. It's got an epic quieter opening. Yeah. Builds beautifully. It's a really good example of how the differing vocal styles kind of fit together. And you got a fantastic Eddie Van Halen guitar squeal about 2/3 of the way through.
Yeah. I love those things, because they just kind of cut right through the mix, and then you could just kind of get just wacky with it, and it just kind of sounds like unhinged, you know.
And Orphan. So he sings it. It's just the way it is. How did I find myself to be so pitiful and vulnerable? Yeah, it's a slower, emotional song. Yeah, with a another fantastic guitar solo section in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that solo. I just, you know, could hear the melody in my head at the beginning, like so just one of those things. I had it worked out in my head, like just like the first maybe 15 seconds of it, and then, you know, we just kind of just improvised, you know. I tried to learn. I got a guitar lesson from one of my favorite guitarists, Jake Sinninger from Umphrey's McGee.
Right.
And he taught me a lot of, you know, cool guitar tricks to use, you know. So I definitely applied it all over, like, the record.
So improvisation is more your style rather than sitting there and...
Yeah, and just work it out by myself. I'd rather, like, improvise and just kind of have our producer, Mark Lewis, like, tell me if it's good or not.
Right, okay.
You know, just kind of have a back and forth.
And then we move to the kind of two joined up songs, if you like, Without You, yeah, with the wonderful picked acoustic guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
Which then runs into Without Us, which is an awesome example of how three guitars can work with that heavy, thunderous opening, chugging riff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massive piece that for me is quite goosebumpy.
Oh,
can you talk about how you paired the two songs together and why you kind of split them apart, yeah? Because it's almost
Without You, Without Us.
Yeah.
Well, the that acoustic guitar part is actually just a rendition of the chorus in Without Us.
Uh-huh.
It's just like done more. I guess there's more. It's just different chording underneath it, different phrasing, like under, like with the guitar, so it sounds like it kind of a different song, but it's just the same melody as the chorus of Without Us.
Uh-huh.
But Phil came up with that opening idea, the on Without Us, the chugging, dun, 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 just with the toms, and then it breaks into the halftime. Yeah, Phil came had that idea, and he was really adamant, like we could turn this into something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took it and just kind of, you know, wrote a song around it. That was like honestly the hardest song to write for the record, because I don't know, it's like the longest we worked on a song. It was just like we couldn't like quite like get it done
right
until we kind of cut some stuff, like trimmed it, and then came up with that the bridge section, and that kind of brought it yeah. home.
Oh, definitely.
Made it more dramatic.
Oh, it's fantastically dramatic, isn't it? You know, from the quiet opening, yeah, and then it just goes boom, yeah.
Yeah, that song is the big battle. That's the because the story of Ken is linear, so it starts from the beginning, the story, and then it tells it all the way till the end. So Without You, Without Us, that's the battle of the two selves,
right.
In hand, yeah, coming to a head.
Yep, yeah. that makes more sense now. Then, yeah, and then obviously you finish on Kin, yeah, which is like 2:40 of heartfelt loss from the lyrics with some beautiful guitar, and then drums and a fantastic riff, and then the most melodic solo in there. It's wonderful, yeah, and it's a really impressive way to end the album, yeah. Can you describe the title and its meaning and its significance as the album title?
It's it's kin means related to, so it's like it's basically him and his evil self, like from, you know, the valley. He created two personalities, the evil and his true reality. So it's basically his true reality, like, you know, telling his evil self, you know, to go separate ways and kind of like dissolve. And the music's real, just like kind of reflective and I don't know, it just builds into this, you know, big, you know, solo, which feels like it's kind of like, you want it to feel like it's tearing apart, you know, they're tearing apart and they're separating and kind of like particleizing away, and make it feel like it's final, like there's a finality in the story. So yeah, that just started with a little acoustic guitar riff that my wife liked. She you know, she said, oh man, that's nice, it's a nice melody. And I just took that and kind of wrote the song around it.
Oh, cool. You were distracting her while she was creating as well then.
Well, that was all before she started working on the painting.
Oh, right. Okay. That's cool. That's cool. Great. I mean, I really love the album. I've just picked some of the songs there, and it all meshes together really, really well. So you've been over to the UK a few times, Bloodstock a couple of times, Downloads. You like touring Europe? Any plans to visit us again?
Love it. I mean, it's just hard in this, you know, nothing's booked yet. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's hard because we got a great booking agent in Europe after we released The Valley. Like that kind of like got us some new, you know, the people, the powers that be, you know, took notice, and we got a new booking agent. We haven't been able to really use that to our advantage yet since the pandemic happened.
Yeah, so, no, it's really difficult. I guess it must be difficult in the US as well, trying to get gigs sorted out. Everyone basically wants to tour right now, don't they?
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we got a couple gigs, a couple tours lined up for next year.
Ah, okay, cool.
So we'll see, you know, we'll see.
Okay, excellent. So look, congratulations on Kin. I think it's an excellent album, and I think it puts you as a band in a really interesting space. I really like it. And I really like to hear a band developing over many years. You must be all pretty damn proud of how it's come out.
Yeah. We're very excited for everyone to hear it, have our fans listen to it, dig in. Cause our fans really love The Valley. We've got the best response we've had gotten out of all of our albums on that. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, the continuation of it, it's just like, it's going to be exciting. It's like watching, you know, like a movie, you know, like Kill Bill 1, and then, you know, Kill Bill 2 came out. You know, everyone's wanting to see it.
Cool, hopes for the future then.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for the the in-depth, you know, analysis of the songs and stuff, and it's nice to hear like input from it. So
yeah, no, that's cool. Any message for the fans?
Kin comes out October 29th, and can't wait for you to listen. Wait for you to listen to it. And thank you so much for your support.
Yeah, no, brilliant. Ben Savage, Whitechapel. Yeah, like you say, Kin's out 29th of October. It's definitely worth many listens for everyone. Ben, thank you. Good night. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Good night, Steve. Thank you, man.